Hello, and welcome into episode 39 of Bourbon and Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie, and the crew is all back in the studio for this episode. Rob?
Hello, hello.
Sean?
Hi.
Chad?
Hello.
John?
Hoi, hoi.
And actually joining us, we got a full table today. Full table.
This table is busted.
All the way from Las Vegas. Oni, what's going on?
Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Always
for joining us.
Always fun when friends of people on the show sit in.
Especially friends of Chad, I'm guessing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'm probably the first one, to be honest with you. There's probably only one of us. One friend of Chad.
Yeah, we've heard that.
It's fair.
Yeah. Is that a fair assessment, Chad?
Totally fair,
yeah. All right.
It reminds me of high school. I think you had one then.
Yeah, and he put me in the locker all the time. So.
Yeah, and Chad, this has forced Chad and Sean to share a microphone.
Again.
Always. What's up with this, Chad?
We had to share that time with that historian guy.
We sure did.
Archivist.
Yes, the archivist.
Archivist.
Yeah.
What was his? Oral historian.
Oral historian, yeah. That's right.
Did she say that?
They're all the same, right?
Yeah,
library,
I think so.
Archivist, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All interchangeable.
Scribner.
But I have to.
I like that.
What, Scribner?
Yeah, that's a nice word.
That is a nice word. That's a big word, Chad.
Thanks. I've been studying for the GRE.
What about Scrimshaw?
Scrimshaw. From the knucklehead trout. Yeah. Making like little Scrimshaw figurines.
Okay, we're getting way too intellectual for this show. way too down an intellectual rabbit hole. Anyway, I have got to think right out of the gate, our correspondent from our Nebraska Bureau, Adam, for filling in for Rob.
Thanks for sitting in, Adam.
Yeah, on the last episode. And Chad, again, thanks for calling in from the farm.
Oh, that's always fun. Yeah, fun. You all need to get to the farm.
We do.
Am I right, Oni?
Oh, yeah. The farm is a special place.
Yeah, we absolutely do need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, okay, so we're here, yay, and we got some bourbon on the table, and we've got some bourbon adventures to talk about, and we've got a rundown of a bunch of ridiculous topics, just complete and total utter nonsense.
Sounds good.
As we always tend to do on this show. So anyway, let's get to, I guess, what we're drinking real quick. So Chad, you brought something, and Rob brought something.
Yeah, so I brought something I've never tried before. I've never had any of their offerings. Barrel Bourbon, that's barrel with two R's, two L's. It's a barrel whiskey. It's their Infinite Barrel Project. I think it's just, where were they sourced from? You guys read this.
Poland.
Oh.
Poland and
Tennessee.
Far-flung places like Tennessee.
Sri Lanka. Indiana, yeah. So there's all kinds of different whiskeys in here. It's a true infinity bottle.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. And Chad, you actually, before we started taping, had a interesting take on the bourbon when you tried it.
It's a melange of flavors, right?
Melange of flavors, yes.
Well then.
I hope you pass that,
Jerry. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we're going to go from there.
I don't know. We're throwing around the big words. So Rob, you also brought something.
Yeah, I brought in a Bowman Brothers Pioneer Virginia Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's a small batch. It's 90 proof. This one's been sitting on my shelf for a while. Michael picked it up before you could even get Bowman Brothers here in Lexington. So, I mean, you know, it's been sitting there for, I don't know, a decade or so. So I know we had one of our listeners ask for us to do a review of it, so I brought it in.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, Jesse, I think, asked to do a review.
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah.
I think on the Bowman Brothers, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Bowman Brothers is actually distilled first by Buffalo Trace and then sent to Virginia, and then it's redistilled again and put in their own bottles, right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh. Interesting. I
so,
did not know that.
Oni, you're definitely a bourbon guy.
I am.
For sure.
Yes.
And actually, not no beer, just bourbon, right?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
I drank two Dos Equis yesterday because the server I ordered a Dos Equis, he brought two.
So like the two.
Yeah. So nice. I had Quattro Equis.
Ah, that's nice.
All right.
Nice.
Fair enough. Yeah. So
start ordering like that. Quattro Equis.
Yeah.
So what's your go-to bourbon?
Go-to? Well, pretty much anything Wild Turkey.
Oh, so you're a Wild Turkey guy.
I'm a Wild Turkey fanatic. And Heaven Hill as well. I'm not a big Buffalo Trace fan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I like some of their like more rare stuff, but...
See, we're all Trace Life up in here.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm Heaven Hill.
Old Forester. Right. I don't know where y'all going.
Yeah, that's
Trace
right.
Trace Life ain't for everybody.
That's right. It ain't for everybody, you know.
That is true. It's
not. More for you on the shelves without me looking for that bottle.
Keep telling that story.
So what's the bourbon scene out, like in Las Vegas?
It's pretty awful. The So the casinos get all the allocation, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, Total Wine gets some, and the local, what would be our equivalent to your liquor barn is a, it's called Lee's Discount Liquor. They don't discount anything.
It's a misnomer.
Yeah, it's awful. Like I actually got a bottle of Pappy from them a few years ago because I walked into their store, and it was the day that Buffalo Trace sent out the email saying, oh, you know, secondary market, people gouging, price gouging. So I took a picture of their lineup, and, you know, their old rip was $600 and, you know, and on up the 23 was $2,900 bucks.
So what, $2,900 for the 23?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I sent a picture of that to the I just responded to the email that was sent to me from Sazerac, and then they forced Lee's to give me an old rip at like $39 or whatever it was.
Really?
That's kind of fun. So that's pretty phenomenal. Then of course I took it and flipped it for $400.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
But you know,
well played.
Yes, well played.
But I was really happy doing it.
$2,900 is ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah.
On the shelf.
Yeah.
Good Gertie.
Yeah, that's
they had all the whole lineup.
I guess is they're thinking though that because it's Vegas and somebody, you know, gets their nut out there and wins $10,000, you know, and then like, hey, now I can buy this Pappy, and they don't care about the price.
Well, the only problem with that is that store is 15 miles from the strip. Like that's it caters to locals.
Yeah,
only. So like no whale off the strip is, you know, getting in his Bentley limo and going to Lee's Liquor.
Because they're probably getting theirs delivered to them at
the
hotel.
Will just
right.
Hand them
I always chuckle at the discount liquor name. As far as all the liquor stores I've been in, the discount liquor, I don't really see much of a discount ever.
No. If it's in the name, it's probably not happening there.
I feel like that they should have to rename themselves.
Yeah, but it's always interesting to me to talk to people who live in other states in terms of like what the bourbon scene is because, you know, again, I think people think we live in Kentucky and we can get all the bourbon everywhere, and that's just not true.
Totally, yeah, if we can. So what are what's like Pappy pours or BTAC pours on the strip, price-wise?
Like a 23, you're looking at probably $450 an ounce.
Wow. Whoa.
I know the 25, you know, the fancy boxed old rip 25, that was $2,000 an ounce.
Man.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
So in that, I was there the day they cracked that bottle open. And, you know, that was probably 6-7 months ago. And that bottle, there's probably only about a third left. So,
wow,
you know, they've paid for that bottle, you know, 100 times over.
Like Chad said, you might win big, but for $2,000, I could do lots of other things in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a status thing. Yeah. I think it's just like,
that's true.
Give me three of them, you know, for all my friends because I'm that guy.
All right.
I'm thinking Daniel Defense comes to mind.
Yeah.
Come home with one of those and I'd be happier for $2,000.
Well, I mean, you know, you see what happened yesterday, I guess, yes, it was yesterday, where what, like 3,000 people showed up for 200 bottles of Pappy?
There were a lot of people in the
at Liquor Barn.
Yeah, because I know we'd talked about it before and I was considering going out and then got a call about some work that was being done at the house. So I was like, I'm not going. But when you saw that picture you sent out, I was just like, Jesus, that's a ton of people.
Yeah. And that was just for a chance to possibly buy one.
Yeah, Matt sent me a text yesterday and he said it looked like Woodstock without all the floppy titties.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy how many people were out there to get a wristband to try and get a chance to even buy one. And then what are you going to do? You're probably just going to turn around and flip it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
in the parking lot.
Yeah, if you've got brain, you're going to flip it, right? I mean, it's not worth money.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe old rip is worth it for $79. I think it's solid pour. But the rest, to me, is mostly passable.
Right. And we've talked about that before on here, is the fact that it's just got this mystique. It's not the best bourbon that ever was or ever will be, but it's just got this mystique about it now, I think.
Yeah, it's not even limited. Like, I mean, it is limited. I mean, obviously, because you can't go get it anywhere. But there's a reason they don't release the numbers. They'll release the BTAC numbers, tell you, you know, there's only 1,200 bottles of this or, you know, whatever. They won't do that for Pappy because if we saw the numbers, the actual numbers, we'd probably be like, what in the world are we doing?
Yeah.
So I know for my Total Wine 2 years ago, I was there when they brought out their allocation for that day, for that year. They had cases and cases. And that in every restaurant on the strip, bar on the strip has all the whole lineup.
Yeah.
So Vegas, I mean, in total, they probably had 200 old rips and then 120 lot Bs. And, you know, the 23, I think they had 16 or 17 of them.
Oh, wow.
Huh. So, I mean, it's not, it's limited, but it's not.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they've, because who makes that now? It's Buffalo Trace, right? Yeah, it's Buffalo Trace. And I think that they've created a perception of a shortage, you know, with these lotteries and with all of this kind of stuff.
I don't know if it's perception or is more people are buying it now, but yeah, it feels like something's a bit off as far as the lotteries. But then if you got 3,000 people showing up to try to win a bottle, I mean, it's going to be in short supply.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. But
it's all up to the consumer.
Yeah.
If you didn't show, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Capitalism,
that's
baby.
The whole
capitalism.
Thing. And I don't know that it's Buffalo Trace that's doing it necessarily. I don't know that maybe some of it's the family and the name and that sort of thing. I get that. But a lot of this came because it was in so many different places and it was on TV and it was this and that and everybody else talked about it.
Justified.
You ended up with this sort of mystique that now it continues. But Oni makes a good point in the sense that if the numbers were out there, then you could actually see, okay, that's not as rare as you think. It's just a matter of the demand. And that it all goes back to that. If 1,500 people didn't show up for a chance to pay money, they wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Definitely true. So, Sean, you actually went to Angel's Envy.
I did. Last week I was in Louisville and had an impromptu bourbon adventure. Went to the Angel Envy's distillery. Didn't get to go on a tour because it was Sunday. And they're only open 1 to 5 on Sundays.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So they pre-sell all their tours. But they have a very nice tasting for $10.
Hmm.
And you sit there and somebody goes through the history of the distillery. And it's in their gift shop right there. It's worth the $10 if you're down there. As we've talked before, if you go to one distillery, you go to all of them.
Right.
In fact, there was a couple from Pittsburgh who was there. And they couldn't get on a tour. So we told them, go down the street, go straight down Main Street, and get on the Old Forester experience because it's all in one building. You see the whole thing, even the cooperage, because Angel Envy's cooperage is not there. They don't have a cooperage. They buy their barrels.
Oh.
And then they move them out to Shively to age. And I was like, just go down the street, and you'll see the whole operation if this is your first time to do that. It was a good experience for $10. I mean,
yeah, $10, yeah.
And you get to hear the family history. What I did not know is that the gentleman who founded Angel's Envy was the creator of Woodford.
Oh, really?
When he was at Brown-Forman.
Huh.
That's right. Yeah, Brown-Forman. Mm-hmm. And so he created that. So that was his last project for Brown-Forman was Woodford. And then when he retired, his son wanted to start a family business because he's got like 6 boys.
Mm.
And he came up with Angel's Envy Distillery, and that's what they do. So he came up and worked on a formula before his passed. Now his son works there. He runs the company. And now all the 6 boys are all making their way into the business.
Interesting. So is that, because, you know, Old Forester, they've got some barrels aging and stuff like that. And they do the distilling there. But they've also got a big offsite facility, too, where they do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Does Angel's Envy the same way?
It's all offsite.
Oh, okay.
And so if you don't know location, it's the one that's right across from Slugger Field. So
right.
You probably did. You saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
So it's in a nice, convenient location, too. If you can get on their tours, that was the thing about it being a Sunday that was kind of disappointing.
But now, I guess my question is, do they do everything at that facility? Like, is that their only facility?
That is their only facility.
Oh, okay.
Except their rickhouses are out in Shively. And I found out the reason for that is that the reason all the distilleries in the day built out in Shively, it was outside Louisville. They were separate entities, and the taxes were cheaper in Shively.
Oh.
So now, that's the reason all the brick houses grew up out there, the ones you can see.
Okay.
So, but now it's all one incorporated place. I guess everybody paying taxes.
Yeah,
so
interesting.
So what was the tasting?
It was, what was it? Let's see. It was the plain. It was their plain one.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'm trying to think. It was one sample of that, but they paired it with chocolate.
Okay.
And you got a nice history of it. I mean, for the $10, if you're down there walking around, it's a good thing to know, spend 10 minutes doing and talking. And then they'll also try to sneak you into the distillery toward the tail end of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I did miss is at the end of the Angel and the Envy's tour, they have a cocktail room where they have all kinds of different cocktails. And that was the only part that we missed by not being on the tour.
Well, Old Forester had one of those too, but it costs like an extra like $30 or $40 to go in there, I think.
Yeah, or you can go in the bar and drink at Old Forester, I think.
Yeah, because we were going to go in there and then they were like, no, it's going to be an extra $30. And we were like, nah, forget it. Yeah. So anyway, all right, well, cool.
I've never been a big fan of the Angel's Envy sub, but I'm hugely a fan of the rye finished in the Caribbean rum cask.
Mm-hmm.
That is good stuff.
Their rye is good. Now, that's the thing. I think that's probably their most popular product, because let's see, it goes for like a $90 a bottle there in a gift shop.
Yeah.
And they had it there, and I was tempted, sorely tempted, to pick up a bottle of that rye. I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Interesting. Cool. Well, I had to say that I really hope that we don't get blown off the face of the earth before we get to finish the show. It's pretty...
I asked about that closet or basement earlier.
It's very windy here. We're actually under a tornado watch, and we've got the windows open, so actually kind of feels like we're inside outside.
Yeah.
I like it. So anyway.
Nice little breeze coming through.
All right. So I think we've got to get to some topics, because we've got a lot of them. There's a lot of stuff that has gone on between the last time we talked.
Absolutely. More than we could even get to.
All right, so we got to talk about these guys in Arkansas. And actually, you know, again, our correspondent in Nebraska, Adam, thanks for tweeting this story to us. Like, he tweeted it right away, like, I think right when it happened, and he saw it. So these two Arkansas guys, shockingly enough, are drinking, right? Alcohol is involved in this story. And they just, the one guy tells the other guy, he's like, hey, I got this bulletproof vest. I want you to shoot me. So the dude did. And apparently... the guy got mad that the guy actually shot him, and then he shot the other guy, who was also wearing a bulletproof vest. So they're shooting each other, and I guess the first guy that got shot that got mad shot the other guy in the back multiple times because he got pissed, okay? So these idiots go to the hospital, because it did, like, it just gave them, like, welts or whatever, you know?
He had broken ribs from that, right? In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So they go to the hospital, and the hospital's like, oh, this is kind of weird, and they give him some story. Well, it turns out that one of the dude's wives told the police what happened, and they got arrested. So... opinions.
Well, a couple things there. One, if you're telling your friend to shoot you, then don't get mad that he shoots you. Obviously, drinking was involved. Better choices could have been made, I think, in this.
I'm thinking they should have gone up about 12 inches and cleaned up the gene pool.
I can just only second that. That's kind of funny. Yeah.
What is the audience numbers in Arkansas? Before I make my comment.
Oh, just go ahead. I don't know. It's fine.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
I think that the alcohol with the Arkansas.
That's fair. That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
They ain't much to do in Arkansas. I agree with that. And especially in the spring, they ain't nothing to do but hogs. And they probably got tired of that. So.
Well, and their basketball team's not very good.
No. The worst. How do you botch up a higher job like that? Oh, wait a minute. UCLA steps in. Anyway, the thing that gets me is, like, if that's your friend and he tells you to shoot, you got to shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to shoot him. If not, he's going to go, the remainder of your friendship, he's going to be like, yeah, well, you had a chance. You didn't.
Yeah,
now,
really?
I do think, though, when the dude shoots him and then he turns around and then he, like, shoots him multiple times, you're taught to double tap. I mean, that's your fault because you didn't do it first.
It's instinct. Yes. Right? Instinct just kicking in.
It seems to me.
The other thing that, you know, why are you sitting around drinking with your bulletproof vest on? I mean,
it's Arkansas.
Again,
you never know.
I don't disagree.
They might have had condoms on, too. Right? I mean, you know, you never know what to prepare for an Arkansas drinking session, right?
We didn't hear the whole story.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, there might have been more involved, but it's just, you know.
Were there pigs involved?
I don't think so. But then the wife tells on him. Right?
Oh, that don't surprise me in the least.
Were they?
You know why? Because she was looking at that hospital bill and realized somebody got to pay for this besides me.
Right. So this is the event that we know. What about all this other shit that they did that we don't know about? The wife was probably pissed.
She's probably like these two dumbasses
get drunk and do stupid shit like this all the time. I'm telling the damn cops.
It's fair.
I think you need to look at the life insurance policy. What were the numbers here? Because she could easily have been doing the second guy and mad that he didn't take out the first guy, given a chance. Like, there could have been much more nefarious things at foot. There'll be a Lifetime movie about it.
Yeah, the TV rights will tell us all.
Without Aunt Becky.
Yeah, this is true, because she's going to be in jail.
Poor Becky.
She's going to be in jail,
Free
yo.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
She didn't take the plea deal. Or like she thought she could get a better deal.
They threw more
deal.
Charges at her.
Yeah.
She didn't take it.
Right, exactly.
She's going to see behind the bars.
It's totally. She got some bad advice.
I'll be curious. I mean, I'll be curious to see what happens.
Well, you know what? If Martha Stewart can go to jail and come out stronger than ever.
That's right.
You know, I think Aunt Becky's got a chance.
Yeah, Martha Stewart has that, like, that bitch quality to
it's
her.
True.
Like, she, like, has that a tough girl streak to her, even though she was loaded.
Yeah, this is true.
And Becky doesn't.
Martha was a stockbroker before she started making all that cash money.
She cold.
Yeah, she cold blooded.
She's stone cold, yeah.
She put money on your head before you knew it and didn't care. That's the thing, is that she also has a good recipe for toilet hooch. You've got to make friends. You either go in and you shank somebody, or you make friends with toilet hooch.
Pruno.
That's fair.
Pruno.
Pruno, yes. That's a real thing. Yeah, like, for real.
Toilet hooch, yeah.
So, well, the thing of this is, these guys get arrested, but I don't know what they can charge them with.
Unlawful discharge of a firearm. I would think that you could probably go wanton endangerments. And I don't know, specifically the laws to Arkansas, but that would be two things. Or putting others in the house or yard
endangered.
In danger, which we get back to the wanton endangerment.
They're right. Probably also going to throw some kind of weird possession charge, because Arkansas has kind of squirrely concealed carry laws.
Oh, really?
For a southern state. So they'll probably throw that in there on top of it.
Mm. All right. Fair enough. Maybe the wife wants them to go to jail. She's one of them out of the house.
Yeah, maybe she's had enough.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe the wife and the other wife.
See? I ain't going down that road.
Breaking news, folks.
I ain't going down that road. I ain't going down that road. Well,
sure what's going
I can
on
tell
today.
You what these two guys aren't going to be doing. They're not going to be writing an algorithm to discover a black hole. So, obviously.
Well, no, probably not.
I think that's a given.
Black holes may be discovered.
Different black holes.
It'll be dark.
So, obviously, that was the huge story this week. Just gigantic. It was everywhere about the fact that we have now seen the very first picture evidence of a black hole, yeah. Right? First of all, do we care? And second of all, what does this benefit us at all?
I don't think it benefits us too much. I mean, and again, the picture is the event horizon of the black hole, because technically you can't see the black hole. So it's all the matter swirling around.
What is this?
So, but I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, I give him props.
Are you in the Young Smithsonian Club or something? Are you dropping knowledge? Event horizon?
Veto of fact.
Yeah. Well, you watch a lot of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
It's in syndication. It's on a lot.
Yeah, that's what it is, though. I thought it was kind of cool.
I mean, other than, I guess, than vindicating, vindicating is probably not the right word, but validating Einstein's theory of relativity,
Yeah, no. Again, I don't know if it's going to benefit in any tangible way, but I thought it was neat.
Yay, science.
I actually thought it was pretty awesome. I mean, despite, the hubbub of who did what and who, who was a part of what, I think the actual idea of them being able to pull it off and actually to be able to validate, the work of Einstein, because that was a thing that was pretty much theoretical until that point, right? So it's a pretty big day for science, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw someone say it could be just a picture of a donut. So I don't know. How much money did this cost to get this picture?
Honestly, I don't know.
That is
lots. Yeah. I mean, I think they've put 6 years in it, and there's 70 people on the team, maybe.
Yeah, and
this is Harvard, MIT folks.
Right.
It's all graduate funding and postgraduate funding. So,
using
not
several
cheap.
Different telescopes around the world.
Using multiple telescopes synced to the atomic clock to get different pictures of it as the Earth turns. So, a lot of money.
So, a lot of money for a picture that may or may not be a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yes.
Okay.
And that apparently,
awesome.
And that Soundgarden did first. So
yeah,
no. That's a good point.
They did.
Right.
Here's my point. Before John goes on, all this money. Where's my flying car?
Thank you. Or my jetpack. Where the hell is my jetpack?
I mean, they're just mass produced. I know they have them, but
we got physicists here, folks.
But
they
not talking a hoverboard that was in Back to the Future 2. That's what I want. None of this stuff that goes on water or that's giant that you got to wear. No. I want an actual Mattel hoverboard. Damn it. Okay. Why don't you parlay all that algorithm stuff and make me a hoverboard?
Preach, my sister.
Thank you.
Well, so the reason that you don't have this hoverboard is because look at the time curve here. We're just now proving Einstein. So there's a significant lag time for science. Come back in another 50 years, maybe.
Yeah, Marty McFly's theories, it will take several decades.
Oh, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
I am glad that nerds have jobs, though. That's good.
Yeah, see?
So what's your opinion of the black hole?
You have added to the great pantheon of knowledge for humankind. That's wonderful. Good job.
No, John makes a good point.
I'm
basic,
not interested.
Basic science is an important part, so I'm all for people funding basic science, but I still want my damn flying car and my hoverboard.
I agree. I totally agree. Well, and according to this dude at MIT, there's a high probability that we're all living in a giant computer simulation anyway. this guy comes out with this article and says that the chances are, what did he say? That it's more likely than not that we are living in a computer simulation. I don't know how I feel about that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, is how I feel about that. I mean, stop it.
See, it's not for, these are things I used to think about when I was high, right? Like what if I'm like a mouse to some like great giant being, and I'm just like, you know, I'm some ant farm kind of creation. To me, it's not that far off the beaten path to think about that. I mean,
I don't think it's
that. I don't know how we can prove that. I mean, we're just now, like John said, 100 plus years later, we're just now proving black holes. So it's going to take a while before we figure out that we're actually just cogs in the great machine that's actually manipulating and running us, right?
Hitchhiker's Guide. We're the giant computer, and the answer will be 42.
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, did this person just now see The Matrix, and he's saying, oh, this is true. Like, oh, my gosh, this is, I don't know.
We're in The Matrix, or the something 13. I can't think of the name of it. Room 13 or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. I don't.
Nice job. More likely than not. That means 51% chance. Way to hedge your bets there. That's really impressive.
I mean, but this is, again, somebody that seems to me to be a little thirsty at MIT that wants to get his name out there in the news. That's it. I mean, this is just...
He's pissed he went in on that black hole.
Just
thirsty at MIT. I can just envision the thirst at MIT.
Yeah, he's just thirsty. That's it.
Nerd love.
That's a lot of saliva. That's a little creepy.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it. I think I'm kind of with you, Chad. It's one of those things where you get, you know, just lit up and now you're thinking, oh my God, we're riding around on a giant shoulder. And
Exactly. It's fun to think about.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I see the humor or even just the intellectual conversation if you want to go that route, but it stops there for me.
But is it any...
No. That's Joe. I mean, he's taken DMT. He's stepped outside and seen the aliens, right? I mean, we could be.
We could ask Joe Rogan because he's been there.
This is true. Well, so is it? Where am I going? Oh, the flat Earth thing. Like, what's more believable, the flat Earth thing or this simulation?
I'm on the simulation. The flat Earth is not real. It's that's pure hokum.
Wait, are you telling me the Earth's not flat?
Allegedly.
Okay.
I'm gonna buy you a ticket to that cruise.
I don't know. I mean, I don't believe in either of them, but I really don't believe that it's a simulation. So if you force me to go with one or the other, I'm taking flat Earth.
See,
yeah.
See.
I mean, 'cause they got the icebergs. We just bump up against them. Mm-hmm. I've never been the Arctic Circle, so I have no idea. But I'm going with that over
simulation.
Yeah, over computer ones and zeros.
Sean.
I'm going with the ones and zeros.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's nuttier. You know, the flat Earth, I think, could probably at least try to prove themselves, you know? Whereas, how are you going to prove the simulation thing? I don't...
Yeah.
Other than trying to stop bullets.
You're looking at it from the wrong direction. How can you disprove it?
You could. But you have to wake up and see the machine that you live in and sucking your life out. So, you know, it was the 13th floor, by the way, I believe was the movie I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, that movie. Matrix, yeah, Matrix. Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter anyway because the Monkey Army is going to take over.
Outstanding.
Oh, man.
The Monkey Army is going to take over. So whether it's flat Earth or we're living in a simulation, we're all going to be overrun by these highly intelligent monkeys.
Nice.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes or whatever. Because scientists in China, of course, China is like... Forget Russia.
It's the wild, wild west of crazy.
It's the wild, wild west of science, like scary stuff.
You know why? Because you got 2 billion people to experiment on.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of waste there. I mean, you can get some things done.
It's true.
With zero concern with human rights. Like, zero concern with oversight or anything.
Yep.
Yep. Just do what you must.
But I think, you know, I mean, it's part of what they're saying that they want to be the dominant nation. They want to be militarily, they want to be scientifically, they want to be economics. And you know, I mean, you think about the when you get to the Industrial Revolution in the United States, that's what we were. You think about all the pollution, things like that, how we lost our way, if you want to go that way in some sort. Now that we're post-industrial, we're coming back around, but China is still out there pushing that.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe they're onto something here, right? You know, maybe this is the next step in conventional warfare. Why lose your own soldiers when you can send out shock troops of, like,
right.
animated monkeys, so right? I mean, that are monkeys with minds that can pull right. triggers.
So the bottom line is what they're doing is that they've taken these macaws and rhesus monkeys.
And they're evil.
And they are. They're very mean. And they're putting human genes into them to make them smarter. Now,
have they not seen Planet of the Apes?
They make all of our DVDs over there. They bootleg them. Yeah. They see them before we do. They should know all this.
Does it end better there?
Here's the thing though. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, a greater purpose here in terms of understanding disease, other than just making a race of super monkeys that are going to kill us all.
I think they're going for the super monkeys.
I don't think China wants to cure anything.
Yeah, no. I don't think that there's,
their planes the size of, like, C-130 transport planes just parachuting monkeys and killing all of those. You know, hopefully they start in California, but.
Wow. I mean, I guess I saw some kind of, I am really.
The
my
article
brain is
was
not
really
working.
Brief on what they were doing.
Sorry, it was. It was super brief on what they were
you
doing.
Know, so, yeah, they didn't like give the purpose. Like, what, you know, is there some higher purpose?
That's
you know?
The word I was looking for, a purpose.
I'm remiss to believe that, but I like the idea that we're living in the simulation and we're about to go to war with monkeys. Right?
I like that.
On
idea.
A flat earth.
On a flat earth.
Yes.
On the back of elephants.
On a turtle.
You know, here's the thing that also came out with this. You know, the dude who. Edited out the AIDS for the two Chinese girls. He edited out the gene uh-huh. for that. Evidently, it was supposed to make them smarter, and that was kind of hidden below the foe.
That came out. It was meant to increase their mental faculties, right? Yeah,
really.
And I suppose if you're talking about some sort of research like that, you know, seeing what it does and how you might be able to use that later in humans, then you know, I could go that route. I'm not saying that there's any ethics to any of that. But, you know, it's possible.
The Germans did it first.
Yeah, this isn't new.
This is nothing new. It's a matter of the newest twist on it. And you can do anything in the name of improving or helping, whatever, that kind of thing. If you've chosen these two particular types of monkeys, their number one weapon is their own feces. So they're self-armed in that regard. So if you were to start and attack the United States, San Francisco would be a good place to start. There's plenty of...
They wouldn't even know they were under attack, though.
No. They'd be like, oh,
I'm all the way through San Francisco before they even realized anything was happening. It's shit everywhere.
That's totally true.
That is so true.
But John's right. I know people don't like talk about it because it's a thing that's fallen out of favor these days to like talk about history. But the goal of the Reich was to gene edit, like to get rid of diseases mm-hmm. and to make the
right.
perfect human, right?
Right.
Maybe that's what John is doing now, right?
I don't know what China's doing, but they're doing some crazy, crazy ass stuff. And you know what? It doesn't really matter at this point. So we're living in a simulation. There's a black hole that's probably going to suck us down and kill us all. We're going to have super monkeys.
It's a dark episode.
The people at Amazon are listening to every single thing that we're talking about through our Alexas. They've come out and admitted as much that they clip... they clip conversations and analyze the workers analyze them. They say it's to eliminate gaps in the understanding of human speech for Alexa, right? Uh-huh. And apparently these workers are picking up on some pretty heavy topic stuff. Like I think the article that I read said one of them thought that they heard a sexual assault going on or something. And I don't even know.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I don't have Alexa. I don't want Alexa. I mean, the phone's listening to me. We've talked about
this
before.
But you have Siri.
I do.
Like, whether it's Alexa or whatever, it's out there. It's out there.
But I had just about a week ago read another article on this, and it's also on the third-party apps that you download mm-hmm. that you give access to your microphone. It's not necessarily the Facebook or Instagram that's listening to you. It's these third-party apps, and then that's how you're getting these ads popping up in your feed that mm-hmm. you didn't look for, but it's always on. It's right. always listening.
Yeah, that's why when this story came out like earlier this week or last week, I was like, this is not even news. This,
yeah.
We should all know this by now.
Yeah,
right.
If you have a Google Assistant or Alexa or whatever it is, a smart TV in your home, I just think it's a fair assumption that you can go, you're being listened to and possibly watched if it has a camera.
Yeah, it's true. Oni?
Yeah, I realized this about 3 years ago. I owned my own business. My wife and I were talking in the car about me hiring someone, and then all of a sudden her Facebook started advertising to her about, like, hiring agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, she doesn't own a business. She's a teacher.
Right.
So she has no use for employees. But I was like, oh, my gosh, like 3 days ago, we were just talking about
this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't trust any of this. It's awful.
So is this kind of go to the proof that we're living in a simulation?
Total proof.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this was all pre-planned. They knew we were going to talk about monkeys throwing poo today, right? And how our
super
audience
monkeys.
Is going to react to
Super monkeys.
No, they didn't. MIT professors just thirsty.
That's the reason my brain is tingling.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, I know we've talked about this topic before, but I just thought I'd throw it out there since, you know, it came out that Amazon did finally say, yes, we are listening to everything.
Well, here's the thing that is kind of interesting about all this, because I have an acquaintance who does this kind of work for a living, and he's read all these patents, and it's like specifically listed in all their patents about how they're going to build this information. So why anybody is surprised or shocked is beyond me. The fact that you have one of those things in your house is crazy, because we all remember, we talked about the guy, what was it? There's been 2 or 3 cases now where the police have been called to the scenes of assaults and murders.
Right, yeah.
And they've used what's happened in recordings as in court. So it's like, people, put those things out of your house. The phone is bad enough.
I feel like it's more Minority Report than The Matrix, though.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But, I can see that.
To what Sean's saying, at some point, I don't know if you're going to not be able to have the devices, you know, because it's going to be wired into the houses that you buy.
Right.
When you used to have speakers in your home, and you're like, oh, that's really cool. So now you're going to come in, and it's going to have a Nest, and it's going to have Alexa.
Right.
It's already going to be pre-wired into your homes. Yeah. This is for future generations.
I'm already
never going to get away.
I'm already thinking about pulling out my Ring doorbell for that reason.
Really?
It's like, because it's always scanning, and I get all these multiple announcements that somebody's walking down the street. I'm like, where is this going? Even though I'm not on the Ring cloud.
Hmm.
It's a matter of time till we all rue the day that we paid for people to spy on us. That's what we're doing. We're paying, we're downloading, paying for all these things. You are actually, not only are you volunteering to do it, in some cases we're paying to be spied on.
Yeah.
I totally agree with Oni that happens. There are times a friend of mine at work, he was talking, his kids were talking about shorts or whatever, and it pops up on his Facebook, and he's like, what is this? And I sound like Rand Paul, but I'm telling you, there'll be a point when we realize we gave away all of our privacy, and that's the biggest mistake we made, because we either saved 10 cents, good RX, go to hell, or a variety of other things. We are doing this voluntarily in the name of convenience, safety, saving things, that kind of thing, and it's all a lie.
Yeah, I am totally with you on that, and I think at some points, I think you're starting to see a little bit of a sea change in the way people look at this, and the way that the Congress is looking at it, and the way the laws are looking at it. I agree that there's some lateness to it.
To me, it seems ridiculous for us to stand up here and just rue and lament the day that this happened, because we opted into it, right?
That's what I was getting
ready
to say. Yeah.
If you don't know what the product is, you're the product, right? We signed up for this, and this is the world we created, right? Is it wrong? Yeah, sure it's wrong, but I think it's too big to stop now. I don't think Congress is going to be able to stop this.
They don't understand it,
no.
Right.
Much less have the ability to stop it when the lobby is in their pocket, basically paving the way
absolutely.
To do it.
Probably need to move on from it. But I would say that you don't know on some level, or that, you know, that companies aren't being upfront with what they're doing. They're essentially lying or not letting you know exactly what's going on. So I disagree. I think there are some privacy laws that are potentially being broken here.
No, I'm not saying there's not laws that are being broken, but I'm saying we've willfully signed up for this, and nobody reads the terms and conditions.
Right.
How many times have you downloaded an app,
right,
and actually you just scroll down to where you can highlight the button?
We're all guilty because nobody wants to read.
Right, exactly. No, right.
Ain't nobody got time for
that. In terms of opting into it, you know, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, you know, and there are people out there that's their whole livelihoods, right? That's what they do.
Yeah.
They're influencers, which kind of brings me to our next topic.
Yeah.
When the Matrix finally comes crashing down, they're really going to be hurting. So this girl, I don't even know her name. I don't even want to know her name because she's an idiot. Anyway, so she's an Instagram influencer, all right? And
was
yeah, right. And trolls basically got and kept flagging her. And Instagram finally like deleted her account. So she goes on the YouTube and she makes this video where she's just crying and says, "Oh my God, I can't believe you all did this to me. I can't handle a real job," and blah, blah, blah. Well, I looked and so the article said she had like 100,000 followers, yeah. Right? Which to me isn't like
it's not
a
minimum.
Lot, but I read the article that I read about this said that Instagram influencers who have like 100,000 to 200,000, they can make $1,000 a day
on
posts.
I think 10,000 is actually where, like, at the start of being a true influencer.
We need to get on this for
what
the podcast.
What do I have to do for that?
We need to get on this for the podcast, Grams.
So,
well, yeah, and then, like, she's going, she's just crying. She moved from, you know, from somewhere on the East Coast. She moved out to L.A., and she's got a lifestyle that she wants now. And this, she says she's going to have to return to sex work because of this. And,
right.
You know,
so yeah, I don't know.
It's a strange story.
I don't know. I mean, I still don't know what exactly the influencers do. I love the egg. Still stuck with the egg.
All right.
So
fair enough.
Big egg guy.
Well, I appreciate the influencers because of the whole Fire Island thing. Without them, I wouldn't know about that whole scenario. And so
it's true.
I'm glad they're around. I'm pro influencer.
Oh, okay. All right.
For that reason.
Well, what about her making this video and crying and all of this?
Answer this: make sex work legal.
Oh.
Wow, that's an interesting opinion. Well,
so that took a
so
turn.
Who's going to be this? Like, you'd have to have, let's make it legal. So then you're going to have a license and you're going to have this. So is there like a competency test? Like, do you have to do CEs on that kind of thing? Or
I like
how does
that
answer. Work?
That would work. CEs.
Like, I could see that.
Well, you gotta like take a class in ATM. Is that what it is? Right?
Well, I mean, you'd want to be up to date on the newest practices.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd have to show minimum competencies in some of the particulars.
The overhand twist with the nut grab.
You don't want to send somebody out there poorly prepared to cut hair, much less do that. I mean, this is much more.
Matt, this is your territory, right? You know this. This
yeah, being Vegas. From Las Vegas, I don't know about the. On principle, I think everything should be legal. Yes. But in practice, Las Vegas and prostitution, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Fair
and
enough.
I don't think it's the crime. It's turned the whole city into a cesspool.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that kind of makes sense.
But our simulation is already here.
That's
it
a good
is
point.
A cesspool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean,
I need to rethink everything.
I suppose I could see why she's upset about it. She was obviously making money, living this lifestyle. So, you know, if she felt that she was wronged in some way, I can see where she was upset. Do I care? Probably not.
Yeah, I just, you know, she got, honestly, though, she probably got more out of making the video and getting on all these international, you know, national news. Because I read the story from The Independent over
I just saw the video
in the UK.
So what was she influencing? What was, like, what
bikini
was
pictures? I don't know. It was, she just
well,
did
she
it.
Had an actual skill. She wouldn't have been harmed. She doesn't have a skill.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Like, there you go. There you go.
She has no skill.
Yeah.
And there's the answer.
Make it legal.
There's
this is
the
why
answer.
The Chinese can send shit-throwing monkeys to us, and we all lose.
No, what they're going to do is train the monkeys to delete everybody's social media stuff.
They'll just be crying
right?
on YouTube. Oh, my gosh.
No, they're going to train the monkeys to make the egg, suck Rob's brain. See? The rest of us will be on that.
Again, I still don't know exactly. You know, I get it if you're a certain person that has, you're in the media a lot, if you get like 16,000 stories on Yahoo a day, I see how you're an influencer. Some chick taking bikini pictures is just some chick taking bikini pictures that guys want to look at. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
You're not influencing
there
guys.
Are, there are
girls.
Pictures of girls on the internet in
there,
bikinis?
There are.
Yes. Yes, Oni.
I need to look into this.
I don't know what they're influencing.
Sir, give me your phone before you sully yourself.
Well, but this is the world we're currently occupying.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, I think we need to move on to a couple of sports topics real quick. So I want to give a shout out to Jay Wood for winning the for winning.
Jack got second.
The BABO.
Nobody in their right mind would have picked Virginia to win that. I mean, it just How do you go from being the first team ever to lose to a 16 seed?
I blame myself.
Yeah, you are to blame.
I am to blame because I said that Virginia would never get to the Final Four. And I'm telling you, this is my new superpower. This is my new superpower.
One of the first teams to win a championship not having faced any one or two seeds in the history of the tournament.
Right.
Congratulations.
So, but nice. congrats to Jay Wood for winning the BAB Bracket Challenge. You get nothing but, I guess, bragging rights over Chad, John, Sean, and Rob. So there you go.
Hey, Roy lost early. We all won.
And he cried.
He did cry. Okay,
the first harbinger of spring.
So, first of all, what did you all think of the overall tournament this year?
It's fine. I mean, once UK's out, my interest is kind of less and less every year. There were some, you know, there were some bad calls. But you know, that's going to happen every year. I think that people that want more replay are going to make me pull out my hair.
Yes.
We need less replay, and we need less. Don't even show the replay of it, and then go back into it. Just keep the live action. I mean, when you're having a 15-minute break, and also these flagrant fouls, okay, if nobody's bleeding, let it go. I mean, if it's something serious, fine. It's just really annoying, and 15 minutes of them, it bugs me to death.
When did a hook and hold become a flagrant foul? Yeah, yeah. That is part of basketball.
One player at Purdue was injured, broke an elbow, and we've created a rule that now is implemented everywhere except the tournament when it could contradict somebody and people who are going to win.
So, Sean, what did you think of the overall tournament?
It is all right.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, you know, if UK's out, but, you know, I pick them all the time just because I'm a fan. But other than that, it was just kind of meh.
I personally thought it was one of the better ones because, you know, we had a lot of, you know, UK obviously wanted them to go on. I liked what Auburn did. I liked the run they made. I was hoping they would be a contender for the title after that. I mean, Texas Tech, I like what they did. I like that Roy cried. I like that the rat went out. They were, you know.
Oh, rat
face! It was supposed to be, you know, rat was like the New World Order. Nothing could stop them.
Right.
And then they, yeah. So that was great.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm going to get feces thrown at me from the feces-throwing monkeys, but I'm from the West Coast. We don't care about college sports.
You know what? That's honestly,
and it shows.
It shows.
We just don't care.
It absolutely shows. No, and that's fair. You know what? That's a fair point. I don't have a problem with that opinion necessarily.
We watched the championship game because it's all reruns for everything because nobody goes up.
Well, and obviously in Vegas they care about it because of gambling, right?
Yeah. But I don't gamble. Because I live in Vegas, so you can't live there and gamble.
Right. They don't like football either. Because
makes
sense.
Why?
Pac-10 sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
It's college.
True.
We don't know anything about college sport. We don't care.
John, what's your assessment?
So, the thing of it is, I thought it was. I agree with Chad. I thought it was a very good tournament because it was what the average fan likes. They like upsets early, but then they like chalk late. So we ended up with that. I was thrilled at the only thing that made me feel a modicum better about Kentucky's loss to Bruce and his sweaty shirt was that Ratface lost and the University of Zion will never rise again. I never have to see that fat bastard one more time. I will never watch a game he's on. I will never watch anything he ever does. I never see his face again. That has given me the best sleep in a week.
That is a sizist. I'll never see a very sizist.
I will never see his.
What if he blows out the shoes?
Oh, what a shame!
Think of the children in Vietnam. Those little children died because he blew out a shoe.
I'm not sure that rat bitch didn't fake that shoe to put him on that screen. Because if you watch that tape back slow. Let's replay that tape back slow, and you see him slowly start. I don't believe he actually hurt himself. I think that he did. He pulled that whole back business, and you know he lied before. He'll lie again. the thing that I do like, though, I mean, it was fun. Defense is good. I think Tony Bennett is one of the worst coaches in America because I think he does. I think he creates a system where I would rather claw my own eyes out than watch that again, and it's. I can't handle it. And he sits there in his super cool no tie button down shirt wears me out. Just he wears me the hell out. And then, but I was disappointed Auburn lost, but I'm not surprised because I think it's like 0-18, the team that beats Kentucky.
Yeah.
You shoot your wad early and then there's nothing left. So that's what happens. Year after year after year. But that's on us. We got to figure out how to play better.
I think Chad's what you said with the Auburn. Both of you all, you're talking about Auburn. Beating Kansas, UNC, and UK. That's pretty cool
impressive.
For them. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and, you know, so good for them.
But the tournament's all about when you get hot. And they started getting hot.
Exactly.
They started peaking at the right time.
And it's all about matchups.
And I had said, regardless, back in the SEC tournament, regardless if we had won, beat Tennessee, we would have got stomped by them in the tournament in the SEC tournament.
Because they were hot.
Yeah,
they were red hot. Yeah, no. So I liked it. Because there wasn't this bunch of Cinderella bull crap that I can't stand.
Carrie hates glass slippers.
I do. I'm not a fan. But speaking of a glass slipper, I think somebody was wearing one today for sure. I don't know though. But he resurrected. He's more of a phoenix.
It was a testament of willpower.
Right.
We talked about this.
Yeah. So Tiger, I'm referring to the fact that Tiger ended up winning the Masters. So five-time Masters.
His fifth championship.
Five-time. Yeah. Five-time champion of the Masters. And, you know, it's 14 years, which I didn't realize it had been that long.
2005? Yeah,
it was the longest, wasn't it, in between wins?
13 was the previous length.
But, you know, he comes – bad opinion. I'm not a huge Tiger fan. I think he's kind of a jerk. I think he's mellowed out a little bit over the last couple of years, but I think in his whole entire career he's been kind of a jerk. But you know, I can appreciate the fact that the guy come back from back surgery. I mean, back surgery. That's probably one of the worst surgeries that you can have.
Back surgeries like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Infidelities, getting beat with the golf club, right? Getting hooked on pills and like in your, you know,
right.
It's a total like redemption story. You know,
it is.
Of course, he's always been a jerk, but think about his drive and his will to win.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at 43, he's competing with guys in their 20s that are built like machines.
Who
right?
idolized him?
Yeah.
They've never seen him win.
Who took his model? Who took his model of we have to exercise, we have to be physically fit, we have to do this kind of thing, and then to put in today's scenario where the rain decided. That basically dictated the schedule.
Yeah.
So all these people moved up and they were talking all day Saturday. That's all they talked about is, can these old guys warm up? If they're going to have to start playing at 9 o'clock, what are they going to do? Yep. These 20-year-olds are out there spanking it early, and what are these other dudes going to do? And they're all going to die, and we're going to have rehab on the, like, it's ridiculous. But he did it anyway.
He did it. And, you know, it's like the thing that I liked is at the entourage at the end of people waiting.
Right.
All this young crowd that grew up with him as a hero. Again, of course he's a jerk. He's been a dick his whole career, right?
Name one famous athlete who ain't a
jerk. Yeah, you never meet your heroes, right?
Right.
But they were all there because it was amazing for them because they had watched it on TV. He hadn't done that since then, right? It's been a long damn time.
Yeah.
It's just a classic American story of redemption. Love it.
Yeah, I agree. And Tiger fell out of favor with me because of all his crap. And he always seemed like a jerk. But he started to gain my respect back. Chad and I talked about this earlier when he was walking down the golf course a few weeks ago, and some guy had a t-shirt with a picture of his mugshot.
Yeah.
And he snickered. I mean, I just think that's great. I mean, you really can only react two ways, either snicker or punch the guy, and then obviously.
Well, and I think old Tiger would have been pissed about that. You know?
Oh, yeah, old Tiger would have decked him.
Right.
Or went after him.
Yeah.
Or at least had him thrown out of the.
He might not have been able to beat him because he weighed like 105. He used to be real skinny and lean, right? Now he's like chiseled.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's also good for golf. I mean, as much as we talk about
it. No, everybody wants Tiger to win because everybody gets paid when Tiger wins.
For sure. And it's good. We've talked about this at lunch, too. Is like the PGA of America, I mean, you know, of American golf has been on decline, right? The numbers game of people where it's taken up is in Asia, you know, Japan.
Oh, yeah.
China, and South Korea, right? We don't know about North Korea. I mean, he only shoots hole in ones, right? And didn't he have a score? Didn't he card an 18?
He's won.
He's an 18.
Yeah. 18.
Golf is very big in North Korea.
So, yeah, it's good for the game. Yeah. I mean, there was a full bar at Double Dogs.
Right.
Watch the freaking Masters.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He is the player that can that rises the tide on this. I mean, there's a lot of great young players that I've enjoyed watching over the years, but they're not tune-in TV. You know, nobody's going to the last day if you don't care about golf to go, oh, man, is Tiger going to win? Or not Tiger, like Spieth or something
right.
You know, nobody really cares, but Tiger's going to bring them in. And, you know, and that's what's going to make the sell.
Matt had a funny point about this. He was like, this finally, you know, justifies him wearing black and red again today instead of, like, you know, wearing black and red on a Sunday and, you know, coming in 42nd
place. Right,
I will say I noticed that again this year today, and I was like, "Oh, he's wearing red and black. Let's hope it's not another tank." Because he was close.
Yeah,
the last few times he was close,
and you had
but
all
it's not been the same.
And you had all those people on the leaderboard, and I also think that that's something that if you have somebody that's running away with it, it's less interesting. So when you got people moving up and down that are really good golfers, and you throw Tiger in the mix, it's perfect for the Masters.
Yeah, and I'll clearly admit, you know, I'm a fan of Blake Jason, but I thought he was done. I mean,
Totally. I did. I totally did.
I cashing in.
Like, and again,
I said he would never win again competitively.
So I said that Virginia would never get to the Final Four.
Super tasty.
Right? I also turned to John yesterday and said, Tiger Woods.
The list of lies.
Tiger Woods will never win another Masters. Look what happened. And I also blame myself for the Capitals winning the Cup last year, because I said Alex Ovechkin would never win.
So as a Vegas fan, Oh, if my wife finds out about this, there's going to be a girl fight.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
John. I think when you're on the website there with the gambling, you should just listen to what Carrie says and go against that.
Yeah, go against it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's my new superpower. Yeah. It's my new superpower.
Oh, how's that going to work against the war against the flying shit from monkeys? I don't know.
We're in trouble.
Oh, we're in big trouble.
We should all scatter.
You should probably say, they're probably going to hit me right in the face with the flying poo, right? That way it doesn't happen.
Anyway, all right. Oh. Well,
it's all simulated, so it doesn't matter.
It's all simulated. Like this bourbon on the table, not real. It's all simulation. But regardless, what did you think of the barrel and the Bowman Brothers? Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, I'm kind of still trying to figure out the barrel whiskey infinite barrel project, but I sort of liked it. It's a little hot. It's got a little bit of cinnamon in it. But overall, I thought it was a decent pour. Surprised by the Bowman Brothers. I hadn't had it in obviously quite some time. I thought it was a very decent pour. So thanks for asking us to try it.
Yeah, Jesse, thanks.
For the barrel. I had two pours of it, so it was fairly decent. I kept thinking maybe this was a mixer compared to what we usually drink. The Bowman Brothers, it was all right. And then I looked at the proof. No wonder that I preferred the barrel other than the Bowman, because the barrel's 115
proof. Pour.
Yes, Chad has blown out my palate.
Bowman Brothers only 90 proof.
Yeah, only 90 proof. With that said, I taste a little bit more complexity from the Bowman Brothers just because of lower proof, but I preferred the barrel.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Bowman Brothers was a strong pass for me. You know, it's a Texas-sized hell no, basically. I mean, I thought it was boring. The Infinity thing was different. I can honestly say it's the first time I've ever had any whiskey sourced from Poland. So I'm kind of, that I'm aware of, right?
I was going to say, yeah. I've had Polish whiskey in the Czech Republic, and it was about a six-month whiskey, and it was just, it was dragon's breath, right? Yeah. It was horrible.
Ouch.
But it's definitely there's a whole lot going on with it. I don't know that I like all that's going on with that barrel. It's different, but I don't know that different in this case means good.
I like the taste of Bowman. But the proof of the barrel, I'm a proof whore.
Okay.
So, 90 proof just doesn't.
Doesn't do it for you.
Just can't do it for me.
Well, you do run around with Chad. Now, anybody who runs around with Chad's
please don't tell the world that I run around with Chad. Rather that be kept.
Hopefully, your wife won't hear this. Us. John, what'd you think?
So this thing says our Infinite Barrel Project is a constantly evolving whiskey that is different with each bottling date. After we remove a portion of the Infinite Barrel to bottle, we replace it with mature whiskey. The result is an ever-changing and increasingly complex cask-strength whiskey. Lift your spirits. I hope the next one's better. That other one, that Bowman Brothers, was not for me.
What was wrong with it?
I thought it was boring and dull.
Trace Life.
Shut up.
What's going on?
Shut up. Trace Life.
We're not getting down this road, but I'm telling you, that was bad. It. I don't think it was bad. It's just that. I think the complexity comment that Sean made was probably right, but it was just so dull and sort of one note for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, John is pumping the brakes on Buffalo Trace.
Yeah. I have this wild turkey.
There's a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
Did your simulation say about that?
But this thing is, I mean, it's weird. I agree with what Chad said. I don't know that I like everything going on in it, but there's parts of it that I like the start. I like the finish. The middle's weird.
Yeah, I agree.
There's some weird Polish center thing going on there.
Sounds like you've just described sex.
See? It black took hole. A turn I didn't expect.
The middle with all the words.
I'm like,
it also tastes really familiar to me.
Oh, that's what she said.
I knew that was coming.
Rob, I would like a Rob Old Fashioned probably with that barrel.
Okay.
Might be very good.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, and again, because I'm on the Old Forester train, to our listeners out there, if you see the 4-ounce Old Fashioned mix from Old Forester, you should definitely give that a try if you like Old Fashions. I would probably go 3 ounces to a half ounce the pour for the mix, but it was really, really good, and it didn't create all the mess that, because traditionally I make them on my own. But if you see it, grab it. It's good.
I liked the barrel. Old Forester and Buffalo Trace need to give us money. I liked the barrel. I didn't think it was super hot, but it did have something weird going on in the middle. The Bowman Brothers.
It might get better after it's open.
Right.
I mean, we crushed half that bottle real quick. So
at 100 proof,
the
drank half of it.
Yeah, so bad we just kept drinking it.
Yeah.
Again, it tastes very similar to something else, but I really liked it.
Yeah, and the Bowman Brothers. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. I mean, it's one note. It was what it was.
And I think Matt was saying earlier, the barrel bourbon number one, you said that was pretty highly sought after.
Yeah, the whiskey number, like their first release of whiskey was really high. It won some award and everybody raved about it.
Imagine that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Awards are everything.
Tatered out.
Awards and wax tops and tubes.
Yep. Tater.
And stickers.
Yep, definitely.
Fancy.
Well, Oni, thanks for sitting in today.
Yeah.
Yes, Oni. Thank you for the invite. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you being on. Rob, Chad, thanks for showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Dick move
like
at all.
Always appreciate that. And as always, that didn't work out at all. As always, I think, there you go. You can find us on Twitter at Podcast BABO. You can find we're on the Instagrams, man. We're not we're trying to be influencers, right? We're trying to. You can find us on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, wherever good podcasts are free. And as always, we will see you next time. See you.
Peace. Later.